Before we get into today's show, let me just take a moment and thank our sponsor for this episode of the podcast, and those are our friends over at Spin for Perfect Skin, because the Spin for Perfect Skin brush is precisely what you need to begin your journey towards better skin, because the travel-friendly, shower-friendly Spin for Perfect Skin brush is exactly what you need if you want to add a very simple solution to a not-so-extravagant skincare regimen, because the Spin for Perfect Skin brush is the perfect addition to that, because it includes four attachments for light cleansing. You got one for the deep exfoliating, which is very, very important. You got a body attachment and a pumice stone for those rough patches. Very important. And the Spin for Perfect Skin brush will extract bacteria from the skin surface and reduce your pore size down to practically nothing, instantly killing bacteria to ensure your skin is staying clean and with a texture that's very, very smooth. The Spin for Perfect Skin brush started off $100. Forget that. That's not what you're going to pay. It's down to $30 with this link. Go to vanityplanet.com/RHAP. That's vanityplanet.com/RHAP. Use the promo code RHAP. You could also access the Spin for Perfect Skin brush by clicking on the banner at the top of the show page at podcastone.com. Coming to you live from my apartment, it's Rob Has a Podcast. And now, here's the guy who's in his best plaid Madonna kimono. I'm Rob Sesternino. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Rob Has a Podcast. And we have another special episode of the podcast, because we said that maybe we might, when we talked about this show at the beginning of the season, check back in when it was time for the infamous Snatch Game on the RuPaul's Drag Race. And here we are. Surprise. We are back to talk about the mid-season point of the RuPaul's Drag Race. And here I am with the greatest two RuPaul Drag Race experts that I know. First, you hear him all the time on our Big Brother coverage, the great Brent Wolgamott. Brent, how are you?
Rob, so happy to be here. I am just like Diana Vreeland, calling to you from the south of Miami here in Key Biscayne.
Diana Vreeland, that was a reach.
Right, wasn't that
real, real stretch on the Snatch Game. And then, of course, also joining us, you hear her all the time on reality TV Rehap-Ups, the great Ali Lasher.
You know, Rob, at first I was nervous that you were setting the bar too high until you added the two experts that you know. So well, that just puts me at two of two.
I know. Look, we had a lot of people that enjoyed the first RuPaul's Drag Race podcast that we did. So I know a lot of people that are into the show.
That's true.
Oh, and I love them.
Yes. So happy to have you guys back. And of course, this week is the Snatch Game, which is a send up of the old Match Game, which I am always a fan of. Brent, could you just tell people for the uninitiated and, you know, people under 45 years old, what the Match Game was?
Well, what the Match Game was. Yeah, the Match Game was a game show. I think that started in the early 1970s. That became very popular because of all the double entendres, which, you know, the show could get away with, which a lot of TV shows at that time couldn't. And the contestants, yeah, that's the music, exactly. I love it. Yes, exactly. The contestants had to match the celebrities. And this is where Richard Dawson got his start before he hosted Family Feud, actually.
Yeah, and I think that also famously, like, people would get, like, whether real or pretend, and I think it was real, people would get pretty wasted on the Match Game, right?
Oh, totally. Like, this show was famous for people drinking on set. They always had a New Year's Eve party where they literally were all drinking at the same time. Like, you could see Charles Nelson Reilly in the back smoking. Like, back then, smoking was allowed on game shows. Like, it's from a whole other time, and I totally appreciate it.
And it would be on at, like, 10 o'clock in the morning, right? Was it on at nighttime, or was it on always in the daytime?
There was a nighttime version as well.
Nighttime,
yeah,
okay.
I mean, it was, you could definitely tell when they were all dressed up.
Yeah, when I was a kid, it would be on in the morning, and then that's when you would see it. And maybe that was like, I don't know how many different iterations of the Match Game they ultimately did. And I think they were bringing it back into like the 90s at different points. But yeah, always, you know, the double entendre, always the celebrities and a lot of drinking, and always fun when they bring it back. So I was very excited about this. Allie, did you ever see original Match Game?
Yeah, my head just exploded because I was a big Nick at Night person and an even bigger Game Show Network rerun person. Kid. And like, I watched Gene Rayburn, I watched Charles Nelson Reilly. I didn't know who these people were, but I loved it. And the fact that you're telling me they were drinking is like totally went over my head. But I did watch the original show. I was just too innocent to get the humor.
Yeah. And all of the questions are always like, if not some sort of like sexual reference, it's like something sort of scandalous. Brent, could you give us an example of a good Match Game question?
Oh, wow. Now you're putting me on the spot. I don't know if I can give you a good question, but I know that the correct answer, if you didn't know what to write down, was always boobs. That was like, it was such like, you know, it's like we say it all the time today. Like, you know, I just said boobs the other day, but people on the Match Game, like Brett Summers, I loved it when she wrote down boobs. It would always be something like, you know, dumb Dora is so dumb. And then of course the audience,
how
would,
dumb,
you know,
is she?
Thank you. Thank you, girl. You know, she was so dumb. She used her toothbrush for a blank, and then you have to fill in the blank with, you know, what, you know, and then it goes off from there. And, you know, of course, sometimes the celebrities would really try to match the contestants, and other times they really wouldn't give a flip. So, it was always a good time.
Well, I would love to one day, if we ever get like the Google Hangout technology to work right, to do some sort of Survivor or Big Brother version of Match Game. They actually did a Big Brother Match Game one of the seasons. I think it was Big Brother 6. It was either, it was the season with Kacer, and I'm not sure if it was the All-Stars or if it was his first time around. I remember him. Do you remember this, Brent?
I'm thinking it must be Big Brother 6 because I know Big Brother 7 All-Stars like the back of my hand, and I don't remember Match Game being on there. Although it seems like it should be because that was the All-Star season, so I'm not sure.
I feel like they did like a veto or either a food competition. It might have been food competition, but they did it on.
I know there was a Final Four veto.
Yeah.
There was a Final Four veto where Janelle won and she like had to match the stars, but I don't know if it was Match Game-esque.
Anyway, I'm sure somebody will have the YouTube clip of it somewhere. But anyway, yeah, that and Hollywood Squares I think would be very fun to do. But anyway, so the whole point of that being, so that is what RuPaul is sending up here in the Snatch Game. And Brent, what is the history of Snatch Game on RuPaul's Drag Race?
I think RuPaul has had Snatch Game on the show every season since season 2. I think the first season is the only season that did not explicitly have it. And every season since then, you know it's going to come up. It's the one challenge, you know, Allie and I talked about this on the previous podcast that we did with you. It's the one show that you know is coming, you know to plan for it, you know to have a celebrity in your bag or two just in case somebody accidentally has the same one that you're thinking of, like what happened with Naomi Smalls and Bob the Drag Queen. And you know it's coming, so you need to have some stuff planned. And it just astounds me how many people come on this show and do not plan for Snatch Game. Now, they say they plan for it. You know, they have a wig in their bag and a dress on the rack. But that's not what Snatch Game is about. Snatch Game is about interacting with RuPaul and having some zingers planned. And most of these contestants were just woefully unprepared. I was definitely not impressed.
Well, to the point that it doesn't even seem like anybody's trying to make a match. It seemed like you're just going for the joke here, unlike the Match Game that you used to watch, Allie, right?
Oh, yeah, no, they're never going for the match. It's all about the jokes. I think RuPaul gave the absolute perfect setup for anyone who hasn't seen it. It's stay in character and make RuPaul laugh. Those are the two rules.
Right.
And that's how you get the win.
I almost feel like the contestants aren't even necessary. I don't even think you need the answer to try to match from the model. I felt like that was superfluous. You don't even get rid of them.
Typically, the contestants are garbage, except I think because of how terrible overall this Snatch Game was, the real standout, the breakout star here was Gigi Hadid.
Oh,
I thought she was hilarious, and I thought she was a great judge and had some good, funny drag aware answers.
Yeah.
I will say, Rob, really quickly, though, that, you know, I know that you think that the contestants on the show are superfluous, but your boy, Ross Matthews, this is how he got his start on RuPaul's Drag Race, was he was one of the contestants on Match Game, I want to say, like, season 5 or something. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if that hadn't happened, I don't know that we would have Ross Matthews as a judge on RuPaul's Drag Race.
Okay, all right, so I'll take it with a grain of salt. But before we get into talking about this episode, which was episode number 5 of the Drag Race, let's catch up a little bit on the show so far this season. Allie, could you take us through the last couple of weeks, some of the standout moments from the show and how this season is stacking up?
Yeah, so unsurprisingly, Layla McQueen, you might remember her from the bottom two in episode 1. She went out, but kind of surprisingly, it was a double elimination.
Whoa.
The next episode. So as Brent was really emphasizing in our last show, Rue does what Rue wants. And so then Nayshia actually got a second chance and came back, but was promptly eliminated. So you're really caught up, minus the fact that we lost our beloved Cuckoo. Yeah.
Have you seen my Cuckoo? No. No, we have not. Cuckoo, no Cuckoo, yeah. Brent, any big moments for you? Anything that you particularly loved over these last few weeks?
I will say that, you know, much as we suspected after the first episode, Bob has definitely been a standout. I also think Thorgy Thor has also been a standout. You know, we were really down on her in our initial podcast, you know, rightfully so, as Allie told me on, I think it was Facebook, you know, she led with that Ronald McDonald sort of drag. So, of course, we weren't expecting much of her. But I have really loved what Thorgy has been bringing. They did an episode where they basically did a spoof off of the show Empire. And each divided the contestants up into two teams of 5. And that's where you really got to see what Bob brings to the table, because he played Cookie, which is, you know, the big diva on Empire. And he was everything in that episode and rightfully won because of it. So I was kind of shocked to see RuPaul again give Bob the win this time. But I think there was just no denying that he was the best contestant up there.
One thing I just want to add about how this season's been going is, and Brent can correct me here if I'm wrong, and it kind of leads into this episode, is I picked Kimchi first because she had a really good, heart-wrenching kind of story. And I thought that that usually takes you through the season. I feel like this season, more than ever, every episode we're hit with 2 or 3 of the queens' stories, and we're getting multiple storylines throughout, which I don't remember really every queen having that moment, that storyline that carries through a couple of episodes. I feel like this season's been really fun, but it's also been heavier.
Yes, there was like a whole act of like the fourth act, like in between when we got back from the game and before they went out for the runway show. But like everybody had a story. I was getting confused. I couldn't keep track of all the sad stories that were happening.
Yeah, I think they were just trying to humanize Betty before her departure, which maybe should have been a tip off to me that she was going, because I have to tell you, Rob, I don't want to like jump the gun here, but I was absolutely floored by this decision. I cannot remember an episode of RuPaul's Drag Race in 8 seasons that I have disagreed more with RuPaul on what should have happened. So I am down on the fact that everybody said, oh, you know, Rob, you really have to do the Snatch Game. And the Snatch Game itself ended up being sort of non-eventful, except for a few standouts. Except for the fact that this is to me such a controversial episode in terms of who was eliminated and who stayed, that I'm glad we're here to talk about it, because I got some things I got to say.
Okay. All right. Well, a huge blindside for Brent.
Total blindside.
Okay. So we'll talk about it. Now, I haven't kept up with it week to week, but of course I did watch this week's episode. But is Bob the drag queen, Brent, is he become a transcendent player of RuPaul's Drag Race? Is he like the Kim Spradlin of RuPaul's Drag Race, just waltzing to a victory?
It seems like it. I mean, the other reason I was shocked about this elimination is Betty is one of the few queens that I really felt like could give Bob a run for his money. I mean, I know this episode was not Betty's best. I know that. But she had been in the top week after week after week coming into the Snatch Game. Betty had never even been near the middle of the pack or the bottom, okay? She had consistently been putting out some great stuff during the lip sync challenge.
Yeah, put out.
The acting challenge. Well, she did.
Yeah.
But she put out during the lip sync challenge and the acting challenge and the dance challenge. I mean, she had one rough patch. And not only that, I thought her runway was enough to save her. And somehow inexplicably, she goes home. Again, I don't know who is going to challenge Bob for the win. I mean, I guess it's going to be Thorgy Thor and Kim Chi. But, I mean, Bob did not need a more glided path than he already has.
Yeah.
And I just felt like it just got more icy.
Allie, are you feeling like it's a coronation for Bob the Drag Queen?
I mean, Bob the Drag Queen showed up in one of my favorite looks in recent history on the runway this week in his Madonna-inspired Boy Scout look. So I was like all over Bob this week just for that alone. But I don't necessarily agree that I saw Acid Betty throughout the last few episodes as being someone who I really thought could take the win. I certainly don't think that Naomi Smalls is even up there for the win. I think she'll go home in the next few weeks. But I didn't think that, I mean, I don't want to pull a Stephen Fish back and focus too much on the winner's edit. But I thought Acid Betty, while she was coming out in these extravagant, artful looks, and was near the top of the pack every week, she wasn't getting that storyline until really this week. And that kind of clinched it for me when she got the storyline that she doesn't fit in Brooklyn and she doesn't fit in anywhere. But RuPaul's Drag Race has been a great platform for her. I was like, okay, well, she's gone, because that was, here's the problem and here's the solution. It was all tied up in a bow. And so I wasn't surprised that she was sent on her way.
Let me be clear really quickly. I agree with you, Allie. I don't think that Betty was in it for the win, but I do think she was in it for the, you know, quote-unquote possible win. She was in the Fifi O'Hara spot, the Roxy Andrews spot. Rob, I know you don't know who these people are, but they're basically the bitches of their season, the people that had enough talent to get to the end. But you know, we're probably never going to have a chance at winning. But they were there to fill that role. I really thought that's what Betty was going to do, was to push the other contestants forward. And I really am at a loss as to what happened here. I really don't know.
I don't know that she was even living. I was totally with you. Episode one, we were like, okay, here's Acid Betty. I was just going to say she was going to be an acid bitch, but that's not an expression.
It is now.
Can that be a hashtag with bitch in it?
Sure, that's in the running right now.
But I thought she kind of got soft, and the real drama was between like Thorgy and Bob, or Bob and everyone, and that she was kind of underperforming in that role.
Well, we did have tension between Derek and Bob at the start of this episode.
Yeah, exactly. Can someone please explain to me why Derek Barry is still on the show? I seriously, I don't understand. I don't know why RuPaul thought that the Britney was that good. I don't know. Michelle's up there giving her props. Michelle, you look stupid doing that. Seriously. Like that there was nothing to that Britney other than her looking like Britney. She didn't sound like Britney. She didn't act like her. She didn't talk like her. There was nothing there.
Well, let me defend the decision there, because I think that for the judges, and again, I don't know exactly how this works, but if you're not there every week, you've seen 5 weeks of Derek Barry's Britney impression. If you were somebody who are just coming in, you know, every once in a while, if you haven't seen it before, you're going to be impressed with the impression. I think that you think that that looks pretty impressive. If it's the first time you're seeing it, you've seen it for 5 weeks. You're like, hey, do something else. But it's sort of like if your dog does one really awesome trick, somebody new comes over your house like, oh, my God, this dog is so talented. When they come to your house all the time, they're not impressed.
The thing I was hoping, Rob, that you would explain why Derek was still here. But I think that you could tell Rue still loves Britney. Like Rue basically begged her to do the Britney.
That's true.
And I don't know. I wouldn't put it past Roof saving Derek until we got to Snatch Game. And I wouldn't be surprised if Derek leaves shortly after he did the Britney. I don't think I was similarly disappointed, though, Brent, because I didn't even think this was Derek's best Britney of the season. And when you're maybe compared to the other queens who are amateur impersonators, right? They don't do these characters all the time. Like Thorgy doesn't do Michael Jackson all the time. But there was a contestant, Chad Michaels, who is a Cher impersonator at the level of Derek Barry. And when he did Cher for Match Game, he gave three looks. He was phenomenal. It was like he blew every other queen out of the water, in my opinion. And so I was looking for a similar thing with Derek, like an evolution of Britney, something new. This was like the same old Britney. But I understand why she didn't leave this episode, just because he was middle of the pack. He wasn't the worst impersonator, but he certainly didn't live up to the Vegas hype.
Rob, in reference to what you said, I agree with you in theory that, you know, if you haven't seen Derek Berry perform every week, you're going to be impressed. I know that's what happened with Chanel Iman and Gigi. I know that they had never seen Derek Berry, so that's why they were impressed. However, Michelle Visage, Carson Kressley, and Paul, the producer and host of the show, have seen Derek Berry for 5 weeks now. And RuPaul, as she explicitly said in the end of the episode, right before the lip sync, I have consulted with the other judges, but frankly, I don't give an F what they think. But I'm here to make my decision, and you're about to lip sync for your life. So RuPaul is the one making the decision. And RuPaul can't have been impressed with what she saw during that snatch game. It was abysmal.
Oh, there was one other thing I want to say is I frequently get contacted by the folks I podcast about on MTV to mind the edit. And I do think that they're kind of lining up a Derek Berry sucks edit. And maybe there were great moments in Snatch Game that we didn't see that they edited out because they don't want us to like her, because we've seen like the issue with her and Bob. Like, they're not painting Derek Berry in a great light. So maybe they didn't want us to see him have a great episode.
Wait, say that again. So the people that you podcast about say mind the edit, like the people that are on the challenge?
Oh, I get contacted mostly from people on Are You the One who are now going to be on the challenge.
Yeah.
We get told like, oh, the edit didn't show that. Like, this was how it really was. Because when you're podcasting about MTV, they're very approachable. They listen to the show. So I can hear Kiki telling me to pay attention to the edit. And
Well, as Steven skeptical. Fishback says, you know, everybody is the hero of their own narrative.
Fair enough.
So we'll see. But I just think that the Derek Berry, I mean, he looks the part as Britney, and, you know, he's not funny. He doesn't do any, like, he doesn't really have any good, like, Britney zingers or anything like that. He just looks like Britney. That's basically it. He's a one trick pony, but it's a pretty good trick.
I guess so. Like I said, I know I have no problems with the fact that Derek Berry was kept around for Snatch Game. I knew that's what was going to happen. Everybody knew. And like Ali said, RuPaul, I think, would have probably gone back to Derek Berry. If Derek Berry insisted on doing that other character, which I can't remember what he was doing. Yeah, exactly. I can't. RuPaul
was that a real person that he was doing?
I don't know. Allie, do you know who this person is?
I mean, I wrote down that he was doing a Laura Bell Bundy character called Show right. Can Tell, which appears to just be racism. And if you're not funny doing it, it just really is a bad look.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I don't think you can be a white boy and do racist humor.
I don't even know what that is.
Yeah. So RuPaul basically said, you need to do Britney here. And, you know, thank God he listened to her, but it really wasn't all that. Anyways, I'm tired of ranting about Britney. I'd rather rant about other people.
Okay. Boom. All right. So everybody has to dress up. Everybody has to get into a costume and be a character. And I'm very excited about all of this. Now, there are some people that are doing more interesting characters than others. Let's go through everybody and talk about whether or not we were impressed. The first person we find out, Acid Betty, the now departed Acid Betty, was going to be Nancy Grace. A lot of people piling on Acid Betty, especially Carson Kressley, for the Nancy Grace impression. Allie, are you a Nancy Grace watcher?
I'm aware of Nancy Grace. And I feel like Acid Betty had a similar awareness or less than me. And I would not have done Nancy Grace based on my level of knowledge.
Brent, what about you? Are you a big Nancy Grace person?
I'm not a big Nancy Grace person, but as someone who's been personally insulted by Nancy Grace on live television, I can tell you that Nancy Grace is funny. And I don't know how in the world Acid Betty did not understand how to do Nancy Grace. This is so freaking easy.
Nancy Grace herself is funny, or Nancy Grace impressions are funny?
Nancy Grace herself is funny, and her impressions should be funny. I mean, she, like Carson said, you know, she leans into you, you know, she's talking to you. You know, that I'm listening to right now. And she, like, that was totally over Betty's head. I don't even know what she was thinking with this character. Let's be honest. There was no characterization there. Much like with Naomi Smalls in New York, there was zero characterization. nothing brought to the table in terms of a voice inflection or some other different way of speaking. It was just Betty being boring Betty. And it wasn't all that funny.
It was boring Betty. Yeah, that was a miss. It seemed like a good idea on paper, but no, it was not executed well. And boy, Carson Kressley was really killing her. Carson Kressley is like an amateur Nancy Grace impersonator, I think, Brent.
Right? He was great. But he was telling her, this is how it should be done. You picked a fabulous person to impersonate. Someone who, by the way, has never been done on RuPaul's Drag Race before. In 8 seasons, no one has ever done Nancy Grace. So she picks her. It's a brilliant choice. You can have so much fun with it because you're going to, you know, most of the contestants out there are doing people with sequins and big wigs and jewelry and everything. And Nancy Grace is funny just being herself. And all of a sudden, Betty was just empty. There was nothing there whatsoever.
Yeah, Nancy Grace could be especially funny because it's also like that she, you know, it's sort of like a crazy scenario also of, you know, drag queens playing a snatch game. And so, you know, you could have a lot of outrage about Nancy Grace about being where she is and stuff like that. But no, that was not, none of that was to be had.
Right. It was just a couple of canned lines, which I give her credit for a couple of the canned lines. You know, one of the things I'm saying, which we were talking about earlier, is you're right. It's not about the match. You don't give a, you know what, about the match. You want to make sure you have a few pre-planned lines that you can say to whatever RuPaul asks you and make them funny. The problem was that Betty wasn't funny. And that's where she went off track.
We had Robbie Turner announce that he was going to be Diana Breland. Allie, does that ring a bell to you in any way?
It does not. However, I was optimistic for Robbie because it's really not uncommon for the person who has the quote obscure pick or the person who the rest of the queens give side eye to and judge them for their picks come out with the win. So like we've seen Jinx do it. We've seen Benda La Creme do it. And I was like, oh, maybe Robbie really is. He's putting himself in the same category with these guys. Like he's going to come out and serve funny. There have been people where I'm not familiar with them. Roxy Andrews comes to mind. She did Tamar Braxton. I wasn't familiar. I knew who she was, but I wasn't familiar with the character. But they make me laugh anyway. And Robbie just fell completely flat.
Yeah, Brent, like on Weekend Update, you could have somebody come out like, okay, let's bring in this correspondent. And it doesn't have to be a person you know for it to be a funny character. But this was somebody I had no idea. I've never heard this name before, Diana Breland. And now here is a character who was not funny at all.
Right. And that's the thing. I mean, you saw Kim Chi doing some made up character. I mean, it doesn't have to be somebody who RuPaul knows. It doesn't have to be somebody who RuPaul is necessarily familiar with, although RuPaul is very into pop culture. And I'm sure she knew instantly who Diana Vreeland was, as did I. But that's only because I'm into stuff like that. But that's besides the point. You don't need to know who this person is. You just need to find a way to make them funny and make RuPaul laugh. And there was nothing funny. And the other thing that these queens don't do, which I wish they would do, is when you get cast on this show, go take an improv class for a couple sessions. I mean, just go and get used to people saying things to you and you being forced to say things back to other people in an unprompted, you know, spontaneous environment. And most of these queens were totally incapable of that.
So Diana Breland, a swing and a miss. Also, another person who struck out with their impressions, Naomi Smalls was going to be Whoopi Goldberg. But then here comes Bob the Drag Queen, who happened to have a million costumes. One of them was Whoopi Goldberg. And then I think Naomi was too intimidated to do Whoopi Goldberg after that. Ends up being New York. And it was not even an impression of New York, Brent.
That's what I did not love New York. I did not love New York either. That's very good, Rob. I like that one. I don't understand. You know, not only was there no characterization with this one, just like there was no characterization with Acid Betty's Nancy Grace, but she didn't even have any lines. She didn't even have anything pre-planned, and she didn't even look the part. I mean, at least Acid Betty had a sort of bad wig and tried a little bit to look like Nancy Grace with a bad pantsuit, but there was nothing here that said Tiffany Pollard to me. And I don't know why RuPaul decided to save Naomi Smalls, but we'll get to it. I have things to say.
Yeah, well, I think that Naomi Smalls and Derek, I think they're basically the same thing. They have a look. They have like one or two things that they, you know, can do. And that is like, you know, physically they have a good presence, But in terms of like talking, or it's almost like in wrestling, you know, you have somebody who can't do any of sort of like the talking stand-ups. Allie, have you ever heard anybody combine wrestling and drag race before?
I've heard a lot of things, but I don't think I've heard that.
Yeah.
The thing with Naomi here is I was actually excited because I just saw The Color Purple on Broadway and it was phenomenal, but there was nothing funny about it. And so if she was going to be like a Whoopi Goldberg character from The Color Purple,
right?
I have my doubts about that. I mean, the sister act Whoopi Goldberg, to me, even Bob's just little impression was much funnier. So I was like, okay, Tiffany, New York, this is speaking my language. I watched Flavor of Love. I watched I Love New York. And she just, I mean, it's so hard to take someone, even if you're thinking about someone like New York, and to be that dry is so disappointing.
That was tough to do. Tough to make New York boring, but that's what Naomi did. Then we also saw Bob. We didn't quite know which way Bob was going to go, that he had a Whoopi Goldberg costume in his bag. He also had Crazy Eyes from Orange is the New Black ready to go. He also had a Carol Channing ready to go. Brent, doesn't it seem like that Bob easily could have had like five other costumes that all would have been great?
Oh, Bob could have easily brought out the Whoopi Goldberg impersonation and done three looks up there. I mean, first of all, my only problem with Bob was that he wasn't doing Uzo Aduba, because if you've seen her in her normal life, she does not talk like that. He was doing Crazy Eyes, so it should have had Crazy Eyes on the card. It was not Uzo Aduba. And then when he switched over to Carol Channing, I thought that was the one he should have led with, because the Carol Channing one was so funny. I mean, and it was so unpredictable. Like, you know, how is a 6'2" black man going to do Carol Channing? But, you know, he pulled it off. It was great. I loved it.
Can't speak enough good things about Bob.
I mean, seriously, there's so much talent. You know, Michelle said, you know, I want to give you one piece of advice, you know, showboating, you know, maybe a little bit. But, yeah, you know, it's really hard for him not to showboat. I mean, he's a drag queen in a competition where he's trying to impress everybody, show off to RuPaul. And drag queens in and of themselves are showboating kind of people. That's just what they are.
Yeah, so I thought that was really a confusing comment.
Yeah. They're just trying to make it look like he maybe isn't the winner when we all know he's probably the winner.
Don't get cocky, kid.
Yeah.
The thing with Bob here and all of the looks, I'm concerned because I really don't want this to start a precedent of everyone trying to do two or three looks at Snatch Game. I was super happy that we got to see those two looks from Bob. I also totally agree. I don't know if you could hear me snapping, Brent, that I 100% was almost offended that he wrote Uzo Aduba because it was Crazy Eyes. But the thing with Bob is this kind of exposes what kind of queen you are. So like Bianca Del Rio killed at this, Jinx killed at this. The comedy queens like Bob kill at Snatch Game. So I'm looking forward to seeing more from Bob. That's why I was so blown away on the runway, because Bob looked phenomenal. So it was he's showing more versatility than just Snatch Game. So I was impressed with that.
I was so impressed, Allie, by leg pads. You know, I've been watching RuPaul's Drag Race for 8 seasons. I didn't even know that leg pads were a thing. It's literally like pads that are sewn into the pantyhose to make him look like he has bigger thighs than he really has, to make him look more womanly. I had no idea this was a thing.
You need a show and tell with Ru backstage.
Right?
Like Gigi.
That's what she wanted. Give me a little show and tell.
I was lost by that. I know they were talking about it. I'm like, wait, I don't understand what's happening.
There used to be a lot more showing like the pad making than there has been now, because the queens are just like showing up or they're using that boy body thing. But yeah, they used to show you much more of the logistics, I feel like, on the earlier seasons.
Behind the scenes.
Right, you literally like see queens cutting out padding and like placing it into their outfit or whatever they were wearing at the time. Or you'd see the inside of an outfit and you could see what kind of padding. Earlier this season, someone was eliminated, Dax exclamation point. She was eliminated in part because of her bad padding. Her butt essentially looked like four different squares. So, I mean, it's definitely something that they're looking at. And I love that someone did it right this time, and Bob with his leg pads.
Of course. But Bob can do no wrong.
At this point, yeah, I'm sure there's going to be, just like every presidential candidate, there's going to be some point where Bob has a storm. He's going to have to get through it, and it's going to look a little iffy whether or not he can make it through. But I think ultimately he will probably end up as the winner of this season.
He's the Derek Lavasser of drag queens.
Yes, but Derek Lavasser never had to worry about any storm coming.
And not the Derek Barry of drag queen. Exactly.
I got that Big Brother reference. Woo! Normals! The casuals!
All right. Then we had Chi-Chi Devane was Eartha Kitt. Now, did this piss you guys off that he wasn't really Eartha Kitt, but actually was Catwoman, Brent?
Again, I'm giving a bit of a pass here. I don't expect Chi-Chi Devane to really understand that Eartha Kitt really didn't act like that. You know, I'm speaking of the boy Chi-Chi. He's a young boy. He's learning about drag. Chi-Chi Devane has really impressed me, and I know that I said this to Allie previously. We said this offline, but my pick of you guys laughed at me, or Allie laughed at me when I chose Chi-Chi Devane to make it all the way on this season of RuPaul's Drag Race. And I'm not ready to say that she's final three yet, but I like what I'm seeing, because she is, you know, whatever RuPaul says do, she goes and does. And she could have ended up in the top three for all I know. I mean, this, I liked the Eartha Kitt as Catwoman. It was making me laugh. I mean, yes, it was a little basic in terms of the, you know, with the playing with the ball and the licking herself like a cat does. But it was a lot more than the other queens were doing. And she knew how to interplay with other people. And that's what other people on the stage were severely lacking. They didn't know how to get out of their own box.
Yeah, I felt like that there was, did some bits there. You know, at least I give her an E for effort.
Can I tap in here?
Yes.
Because, no, I honestly thought that this, my impression of Chi-Chi Devane here was like, look, she just did things that were funny that had nothing to do with Eartha Kitt. So fine. Like, that's fine. Make Rue laugh, stay in character. She did 50% and she got through. But Brent is so biased right now on this pick, and I respect it, because it's almost like Chi-Chi's just under your wing right now, and that's okay. We all have to have those people.
Yes.
But she picked Eartha Kitt. Like, Chi-Chi selected Eartha Kitt. It was not assigned, and Chi-Chi didn't know who it was, and then she did her best. This was a selection. So I'm not going to cut her any more slack than anyone else. That said, Chi-Chi, Rob did do a lip sync that was like phenomenally acrobatic, and Chi-Chi does have legs, but I'm not going to just grandfather her in with this Eartha Kitt as saying like, oh, poor Chi-Chi, like you did your best.
So you don't just give a pass on the Eartha Kitt?
Absolutely not.
Okay. Good. Good.
I can take it. This is shots fired. I hear you, but I still feel good about this.
Then Kim Chi was Kimmy Jong-un. Brent, did you like this?
Well, I mean, where else was she going to go? I mean, Rob, I know you haven't seen this, but like, for real, Kim Chi
is going to do Pearl.
Well, yeah, I know. I can't believe you remember that name. That's great. Yeah, Pearl was, I think Pearl might have been a more fun choice. I mean, this was okay, but I wasn't impressed by this as much as, I wasn't impressed by this as much as the other judges were, because it was basically just an Asian stereotype the entire time. And I didn't really get a lot from it other than that. And the thing with Kim Chi that has been her problem, and I know you haven't seen this, besides her walk, which she has sort of fixed a little bit, she's not a great talker. She's just not able to articulate and enunciate what she's trying to get across. She can't throw shade very well. She's just not all that funny in general. She's more of a serious drag queen who's into the beat, you know, the look. And this was so expected of her. I mean, I know people are like, oh, she thought of a character. How funny is that to do Kim Jong-un? But I thought it was very predictable, and I wasn't impressed by it.
Allie, were you unimpressed as well?
I wasn't unimpressed based on the competition, but I agree. It was just middle of the road. I wasn't surprised that Kim Chi was safe here. I would have much preferred Pearl, because even the little bit of Pearl that she did was maybe my favorite impression of the night. Yeah. But I don't necessarily think that Kim Chi is going to win, but I have enjoyed, I actually don't think that Kim Chi is going to win. I'll put that there. But I do think that the evolution of Kim Chi has been really interesting. Her walk has improved by 5,000%. And that was just this week, so who knows. But I also was really impressed that Kim Chi got in a solid line when Bob and who was talking with Bob? See, I don't even remember when they're next to Bob. Naomi. We're having a conversation about getting told they're, quote, cute for a black guy. Mm-hmm. And Kim Chi just interjects this, like, very serious, heart-wrenching conversation of, like, yeah, Naomi, you are cute for a black guy. Like, she just, like, pulls that. So I see a little bit more of Kimchi getting comfortable, and I appreciate that evolution, but I don't think she's number one.
Then we talked about Derek at length already and the reemergence of Brittany. What about Thorgy Thor as Michael Jackson? I thought this was a big surprise, Allie.
Really? Why do you think it was a big surprise?
Well, that I felt like that this was kind of out of nowhere. I thought this was probably like the second best impression in this round.
Thorgy is like my favorite accidental pick of any draft I've ever done. I think he's really shown a lot more than he did the first episode. And I thought he was a great Michael Jackson. It's great to get him through. But I thought all of the Michael Jackson stuff was things that we've seen before. Like, if Rob, I asked you right now to do a Michael Jackson impression, you'd probably do like 5 of the 6 things that Thorgy did.
I don't think I would have had the blanket out the window. I don't think I would have had that.
Is that because you wouldn't have felt comfortable doing it, or you wouldn't have thought of it?
Right. I think it's a weird thing with Michael Jackson of, like, I felt like there were so many Michael Jackson jokes, and then I kind of feel like, hey, that's not cool, man. Michael Jackson's dead. And then I don't know if it came back around where, like, all the Michael Jackson jokes are back on the table now. Brent, what's your take on this?
Well, no, I mean, this show has no shame, Rob. I mean, you know, RuPaul's Drag Race, they make jokes about anything. I will say this, though. You know, I agree with Allie that Thorgy Thor... and remember, it rhymes with orgy, so it's Thorgy. It's something where she got lucky because she picked Thorgy Thor in her draft. And I think that Thorgy Thor has
luckier
a
shot. Luckier than you.
That seems, is that shade?
Luckier than you.
Is that shade?
I'm not throwing shade. I'm serious because, you know, like, we were honest. We're like, neither one of these people is winning. But yet, you know, she ended up picking her. And I wasn't impressed by what I saw during the first episode. Mm. But Rob, I have a hot take for you, for real. Okay. Do you remember this season on The Amazing Race where the green team was winning every episode and there was this other team that was constantly second every time?
The newscasters.
Yes, the newscasters. I was calling the reporters. But yes, they were second. And finally, at the end, spoiler alert, they win. And I think that this is sort of setting up similarly because, again, Thorgy comes in second here. She's been second to Bob a couple of times now. She's even talked about it in Untucked, which is the behind the scenes, you know, point where they talk to the drag queens about how they feel, you know, before they come back out on stage. And I think you could see something similar here. I don't know if it's going to happen, but you could see something similar where Bob just looks like he's rolling to the title, winning, you know, challenge after challenge. And at the end, somebody like Thorgy Thor, who has been pretty consistent the entire time, comes in and swoops in for the win. So I don't know if it's going to happen, but it's definitely something that I'm looking at right now.
Allie, is that a realistic possibility? Because I think that Thorgy Thor couldn't wear Bob the drag queen's leg tights.
I'm going to let you have that. I mean, I was texting Jessica Lise to try to get some Amazing Race intel to keep up with that bit. But no, I mean, I don't know that Thorgy is going to win. I think maybe the world will demand Bob get the crown. But I like you throwing
if
that
Bob
shade.
If Bob doesn't win, we riot.
I'll follow you into the streets.
Maybe if there's some sort of like contested drag convention, maybe that's the only way Thorgy Thor could be the winner, Brent. Bob all the way.
Thorgy Thor could be your candidate who, you know, gets second in the votes, you know, doesn't quite have a majority, but is able to take it from Bob at the end. I like this idea. I'm going with it.
Thorgy Thor is the Ted Cruz of drag queens.
And I think Ted Cruz would be very pleased with that comparison.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure he's thrilled.
I have to go. I'm sorry. I'll see you guys later.
Ted Cruz gets into the pop culture. He's done quite a few lines from like The Princess Bride and other stuff. He's very fun. He'd enjoy it.
Oh, yeah.
What is happening right now to this podcast? Rob, take control back.
Sorry
we
about
need
that.
Your, okay. We need your leadership.
All right. All right. That would be a fun episode, I think. What if they did all political candidates? What would that drag race look like?
So many Hillaries.
All right. So let's talk about the actual game in terms of the questions that were asked. Again, I felt like that the questions were, not as like I was expecting more double entendre. Brent, I felt like the questions were underwhelming.
The questions were underwhelming because the questions aren't the main point of emphasis. It's what the contestants on RuPaul's Drag Race are bringing to the episode. That's where the point of emphasis is. So there really wasn't much of a chance for anybody to really match anybody with a double entendre or do something funny. because they were all in their own heads.
Mm-hmm.
Can I want to blame the queens on that, because I'm going over the questions here. And it's like, how much of a double entendre does it have to be to say that there's a new dating app? When you join, they ask, how big is your blank?
Mm-hmm.
Or like, instead of hanging a flag, instead of hanging a flag out the window, she hangs her blank. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, there were big softballs here that only Kimchi took.
The kid joke?
Get your head out of the gutter. I have a giant lemon here. What did she even have? What was that?
Fuzzy ball.
It was fuzzy ball. Fuzzy ball.
Yeah.
But no, Kimchi killed it with the weapons of mass destruction, I thought. But then it kind of went south.
So what were some of your favorite moments from the actual game itself, Brent?
I mean, I have to say, I'll disagree with Allie here. I really enjoyed it when Bob switched from Uzo Aduba / Crazy Eyes to Carol Channing, because Carol Channing was such an inspired choice, number one. And number two, I really think Bob is the only person on the panel capable of switching literally in the middle of the competition. I mean, most of those other queens wouldn't dare do that. They're so concerned about their makeup or their wig. And Bob just literally pulled it off in about probably 10 seconds flat.
Roll with the punches.
I don't want to say I don't think that was great. Like, I love that Bob did that. And similarly, I loved when Chad gave us three looks. And they're both in the same seat. Like, I feel like that was intentional, that Bob had the most accessible seat to step out at. Maybe he requested it. But I love that. I don't want to see it every season now moving forward. That's the only, I'm glad that Bob did that, but I just am wary that it's now going to be, I have to have two looks for Snatch Game.
Are you worried it's going to turn into like a Bridezilla type thing where everybody's going to have multiple looks?
Are you saying something about Nicole?
I think she only had two, maybe. I think that might
have
been
it.
That might have been it. But no, now it's I don't want to bring the podcast down, but then it turns into like, so you have multiple baby looks. It's too much. Was there a Charo sighting at the end of this, Brent? Was that a real Charo or was that a drag Charo?
Well, that was a real Charo. Charo is a friend of RuPaul. And I will tell you that usually when RuPaul says, and the winner of this episode of Snatch Game is, and then they have the boom, 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 boom. I mean, usually RuPaul says, no one cares, because exactly, no one cares. But Charo came out at the end of this episode, and it was just something to make the audience laugh.
It's hard to tell maybe the real Charo from drag Charo at this point, though. Right, Brent?
Yeah, I would say so. I mean, I had to look twice, but it was definitely the real Charo. I mean, and I only know that because I've seen the real Charo recently on something else, but yeah. It was definitely not a drag queen. It was definitely the real Charo.
Yeah.
Everything.
I think drag Charo would be pretty easy to do. I think that might be a good home run for Snatch Game.
There's a challenge for you.
Yeah, somebody should do that in the future. All right. Any other thoughts on the actual game, Allie?
Not really. I'm just thinking now that when I first started watching RuPaul's Drag Race, it took me a really long time to determine whether or not Michelle Visage was a drag queen or not. I don't know if any new viewers are having that issue, but just like it's the real Charo, it's the real Michelle Visage.
Okay. All right. So then the runway task this week was the night of 100 Madonnas or night of 1,000 Madonnas, Allie? How many Madonnas?
I wrote this down. I thought it was 1,000 Madonnas.
Night of 1,000 Madonnas. It was really like night of like 500
Madonnas.
Really, and you had a bunch of people all doing the same Madonna that we had to come out in a different Madonna look. I mean, Brent, does this happen often that basically you had like three or four of the drag queens doing the exact same thing?
It doesn't happen often. I've seen it a few times where somebody has, bitch stole my look, but, and you see two queens come out with the same outfit on, but it doesn't have, usually one
you
of
wore it better.
Exactly. Usually one of them will change. I will tell you this, though, Rob, here's some inside intel. Bob actually tweeted that besides the four kimonos that you saw on stage, two of the four eliminated queens also had kimonos in their bag to do for this challenge. So if they would still be in the competition, there would have been six of the eight drag queens with kimonos on at this point.
Yeah. Wow. So So they have a list of what all the challenges are going to be before the season starts, and they bring stuff with them?
Well, they tell them that, you know, you here are the list of things that you may need for this competition. And, you know, all of the queens, of course, bring everything to satisfy those conditions. They don't tell them exactly what it's going to be, but they tell them, you know, you'll need something neon, like they had two episodes ago. You'll need something that, you know, is a Madonna-inspired outfit. You'll need this, you'll need that. So that, you know, I mean, let me tell you, Acid Betty did not come up with that bedtime story thing during the 24 hours when they, you know, when they were given the challenge and then when they did the runway. She had that with her when she came to the show. And it was something because it was on the card that said, you know, you need to come to the show with, you know, blank. And Madonna was one of the things that they had to come with.
But Allie, don't they run into each other backstage where they're like, oh my God, we're in the same thing. Like, we're just like we saw with where you had the whole thing where, you know, Naomi was going to switch up her look before, like, oh, okay, I don't want to do Whoopi Goldberg if Bob the drag queen is going to do Whoopi Goldberg. There was no time for anybody to say, oh, maybe I should do something different.
I mean, it's really hard to put together a look, especially if it's not one of those challenges where it's like everybody's making their look in those 12 hours. I mean, I don't have the inside scoop, but I thought this episode was really apparent that they knew beforehand and were just kind of locked into it. And I also think there's a little bit of ego involved where everyone thought they had the best version of it, right? So you have Derek saying like, mine is the most original, it's hand-painted. And you have Thorgy being like, I'm doing all these artistic short movements and I'm feeling myself. Like, I think everybody just had not enough time and the ego to think that they actually were doing it the best.
Right, Rob, the other thing to keep in mind is that the queens are only allowed 5 bags. When they come to the show, they're only allowed 5 bags of drag to bring with them. So although they might think they need a couple of different choices for a couple of different outfits, I think most of them probably thought, no one else is going to think of kimono for Madonna. I mean, this is one of her, you know, albums. Nobody really thinks of a kimono. When you think of Madonna, you think of the cones or the blonde hair.
Right. So, well, that's why I'm surprised there weren't like 6 Madonnas with the cones.
Can we talk about those cones for a second?
Yes.
I'm sorry, but, and I liked Chi-Chi's outfit. I liked the head piece situation in the hair, but like, we're seeing full pecs from behind those cones. It was either ill-fitting or there should have been more padding. I don't know how you do padding in a cone situation, but I was just pretty unimpressed. It looked like, you know, my brother threw on a cone bra as a joke.
Yeah, ill-fitting, you know, cones.
It wasn't great.
Sorry.
I wasn't that impressed by it. But again, it was Chi-Chi. You know, she's from Louisiana. She's on a budget. So what do you want from her, Allie? Come on, girl.
I'm on a budget. I don't have ill-fitting cones.
Brent, if you were going to do a Madonna contest for this show, what Madonna would you be?
I'm not sure. I mean, I thought of this. I mean, I think you have to go with something iconic. You could go with the S&M Madonna from the Deeper and Deeper days. I think that would be interesting. That's more in line with my character, not in line with maybe what RuPaul wants to see. I really loved what Betty put on the runway for this episode. And I was really, really bummed that it didn't really get the credit that I thought it deserved.
I think I would go with British Kabbalah Madonna. I think that's what
so
I would
men's,
go with.
Menswear Madonna.
Yeah, I think that's the Madonna. Allie, what would you have done?
I'm surprised we didn't get the typical, like, college girl at an 80s party, you know, fingerless gloves, bow Madonna.
Right.
But I'm also surprised we didn't get a Derek Barry, like, MTV kissing Britney Madonna.
Yeah, how could he do that?
Well, didn't she wear, like, they, like, Britney and Christina wore wedding dresses and Madonna wore a tuxedo or something like that?
He would have had to kiss one of the Madonnas, right?
I mean, I thought he would be Madonna in black tuxedo-inspired look and say, like, I'm Madonna from Kissing Britney, and then we'd see the side-by-side. I mean, it would have been better than the white kimono for the red kimono challenge.
Yeah. Too many kimonos. Too many kimonos, indeed. All right, so it came down to everybody having to be judged. Did you guys feel like the judges were especially hard on anybody this week?
I mean, I thought that they were pretty hard on Betty only because I felt like she's been bringing it in previous episodes. And I know that I may get a little flack from everybody here because, you know, maybe that's not what this is about. Maybe they're just judging this episode by itself. But again, RuPaul is the master of this universe. RuPaul knows what's been going on in previous episodes. I felt like Betty has earned a little bit of, I don't know, a little bit of credibility, a little bit of a, a pass here, but you know, Allie seems to disagree with me on this, so I'll defer to her.
Thank you. No, I'm kidding. I don't disagree with you. I do think that Acid Betty had built up a strong reputation, at least even just in the viewers. Like I didn't expect to see Acid Betty go home just from past performance. But I do think we do see time and time again Rue almost seeming to purely go off the lip sync. And maybe she should have been saved from the bottom and Robbie should have lip synced.
I think lip synced.
Should have performed again. But if you're going to do it based off of Naomi versus Acid, I think Naomi won that. And I was surprised, but she won. And Rue's usually fair about the lip sync.
Was the giving birth to the flock of birds, was that a good costume, Brent?
I have to tell you, I was really, really, really impressed about it. And Betty said it herself when she was walking down the runway. You know, she's like, I look different from everybody else because I'm the only one that's creative enough to think of it. I mean, I think, you know, at this point, we really have to talk about the fact that I think Betty, and this is just me speaking out of school here, I think Betty was eliminated for reasons that go beyond what you see on stage. I do. I have to tell you, because again, I don't understand the elimination. I really think that Betty was so creative and she put some great looks on the runway, and Naomi wasn't giving us anything other than a little bit of lingerie and no personality whatsoever, where at least Betty was being a bitch. But I think maybe Betty missed the mark on this one because she wasn't being a fun bitch. I think she was being a mean bitch. And by that, I think she was actually difficult to work with. I've heard rumors about this on Twitter that she wasn't the greatest to work with. And I think maybe RuPaul just didn't see her as the winner and, you know, knocked her out because of that. But I don't know anything for a fact. That's just like me with my.
Dorji had said something like that Betty has even just a bad reputation in New York.
It's the acid.
I'm surprised that Michelle didn't commend her more for the original look, but it's not like her makeup and her hair were anything special. I agreed with Michelle's assessment that like the makeup was just okay, the look was okay. But when you go to the lip sync, and I think this is Naomi's last week to rest on her body, but dear God, I mean, when she's in just her underwear and doing that lip sync, like the camera barely cut away from her. Your eyes could not leave her. That was like, and there was no padding. I couldn't understand. As a woman, I don't understand.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's the one thing that Naomi can do.
And that can get you through a week or two. It really can.
Yeah.
I was just, like I said, I was blown away. I was accidentally spoiled on Twitter because I read something. I was reading about Big Brother Canada and accidentally read something from Bob the Drag Queen that said, you know, I cried when Betty was eliminated. And I thought, you know, that can't be. How in the hell did that happen? And then I go to watch the episode and it's like a slow motion train wreck. I can't take my eyes away from it. But I think this is a bad call. I really thought that Betty had more to give us, and I think we've basically seen everything there is for Naomi, but I also agree with Allie in that RuPaul is generally very fair about the lip sync. Again, as I said in the previous podcast, it's the one lifeline that RuPaul gives you that you can use to save yourself, and there's no denying that she won this lip sync.
Okay.
Naomi.
Anything else from this week's show, Brent?
Nothing else. I mean, I think it was a controversial episode. I'm glad we got to talk about it. Again, this wasn't the best snatch game I've ever seen, but hopefully that's a challenge to the queens in the future that, you know, you know what's expected of you. You know, this is going to be the ninth season. RuPaul's Drag Race got renewed for a ninth season. So, you know, but besides the All-Stars that's coming up in the break here. So the queens that are coming up, they better up their game because most of the queens didn't bring it this time like I like it.
Allie, any big predictions on how things are going to go the rest of the way as we have Bob continuing the coronation towards being the next winner of RuPaul's Drag Race?
My biggest prediction, Rob, is that you have fallen so in love with the show that you're just going to continue to watch it, but you're not going to tell people about it.
Well,
we're just going to see angry tweets at the finale from you.
I just followed Bob the Drag Queen on Twitter. How about that?
Whoa.
Very impressed.
Bob the Drag Queen is coming to Louisville, and I'm going back home tomorrow. So hopefully I'll get to see Bob the Drag Queen in person tomorrow night, and I will report back from it
Okay. Maybe if I can't. Done that.
Send my regards to Bob the Drag Queen. Okay. Brett, any big predictions from you other than what you already said tonight?
No, I think our final three will be Bob the Drag Queen, Thorgy Thor, and I'm going to go out on a limb and say Chi-Chi Devane, and that's not because I picked her. I know Allie thinks I'm drinking my own Kool-Aid here.
No,
I'm not.
Think that's really fair. That's really fair.
Yeah. I do think that Chi-Chi is probably going to be eliminated at Final Four, and I think Chi-Chi makes it to the finals but doesn't win.
Allie, you're buying that?
Yeah, I think it was a decent comparison, a good comparison that Brent made originally to Adore Delano, and that she came in that third place spot, or she was at least in the final three. I think that's fair with how the season is going, but anything can happen. It's Rue's world. We're all just living in it.
Okay, anything can happen. All right, anything else? Any final thoughts on the season of Drag Race?
Nope. Thanks so much for covering it for us, Rob. I love talking some Drag Race with you now.
So how many episodes are left in the season?
Well, there's seven contestants left after this episode, and they always go until there's a final three, and then they have an episode beyond that to crown the winner. So it's 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, probably 6 more episodes left.
And no reunion show? They don't do like after the final rose or anything like that, Allie?
When they crown the winner, it's a big live event. It actually overlapped with like the Tuesday before the Survivor finale that I was at, and I couldn't fly in to make it to it. But it's in LA, and it's like a giant, giant event. And they do a reunion with the queens, and then they crown, the next drag superstar.
Wow.
It's huge. A big event.
It's huge. Much like when Acid Betty left and declared herself a legend, so too are you both for coming on again to talk more RuPaul's Drag Race.
Oh, thank you, Rob.
And greatly appreciate it. Thank you guys both so much for coming on with me again. All right. What about a hashtag? All right.
I think I like Acid Bitch.
Acid
but
Bitch?
I'm partial.
Okay. No ill-fitting cones? Too many kimonos?
One thing I just want to get out there is some people tweeted at Allie Lasher last time,
no.
Which is great, but it's somebody else.
Yes.
And I don't know how they feel about RuPaul's Drag Race.
Yeah, Lash tweets. That's very straightforward. That's a good Twitter name.
It expands to other social media, so I'm building a brand.
Good, I like it. But so you're Lash tweets like on Instagram?
I don't have a public Instagram, but I'm Lashgrams, Lash tweets, etc.
Yeah, I feel I don't know. Yeah,
it works for me.
Grams, Graham. Okay.
Like Instagrams?
No, I get it. I just feel like okay. That I gotta process it.
At least there's no underscore.
No underscore, yeah. Not like Haley. That's a lot better. And of course, Brent is one lucky gay. That's spelled out, not the number, O-N-E, lucky gay.
Exactly.
On Twitter.
Yeah, three words, one lucky gay, and it doubles as my Twitter name for all things rap and all things slots.
All right, well, we are going to get back into all of the Survivor stuff on Wednesday this week. Talk about episode number 8 of Survivor Go Wrong. Plus, we've got a lot of great podcasts. Chaos Cast will be on the recap podcast. Of course, Survivor Know-It-Alls. Akiva Winokur will be on the voicemail show. So lots of fun stuff. Plus, more Big Brother, The Amazing Race. It's all happening. Robinswebsite.com. Looking forward to reading your comments, and we'll talk to you again soon. Take care, everybody. Bye.